This is LBC.
So I think there is going to be a bit of a backlash on this after this 10% pay hike for MPs, which was confirmed today, particularly because of the timing, which in some respects is terrible, isn't it? We've just heard about the 1% cap in the budget only days ago for another 4 years. The Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority said the issue of politicians' salaries could no longer be ducked. And it's pushing ahead with the increase from £67,000 to £74,000. Last month, Downing Street indicated that David Cameron is not going to seek to block the move. He will personally accept the money. We don't know what he's going to do with it, whether he keeps it or gives it to charity, as some have said. Politicians elected before 2015, including Mr. Cameron, of course, will also see a major boost to their pensions as they are based on final salary. So it would appear to be a bit hypocritical to implement austerity, a 1% pay cap for the public sector workers, but take a different line with MPs themselves. Unless, of course, you think MPs are a special case. And is the answer that maybe we should have an independent, legally binding body that decides the pay of nurses and teachers and other public sector workers? So I think the timing is pretty terrible. On the other hand, I certainly don't agree with a common line that MPs are just lazy and overpaid. I mean, far from it. I think a lot of MPs work very hard. But whether this is the time for a pay rise is debatable, and that's what we're going to do. 0345 6060 973 is the number for your view on this. Let's bring in Philip Blond, Director of Res Publica. First of all, hello, Philip.
Good evening.
Now, you support this pay rise in principle, do you?
Yes, I do. You know, I think it's long overdue, and I think that MPs' pay has been artificially held back for, well, decades, really. It depends whether you think MPs are the lowest rung of the public sector ladder, and I'm sure many of your listeners do, or if you think they're among the most important public servants in the land. I mean, I think, love them or hate them, I think they're clearly among the most important public servants in the land, and I think they should have parity with other, at the top level. Take, for example, GPs. Over 16,000 GPs are paid more than 100,000 a year, and more than 600 are on more than £200,000. The standard starting pay for just a head of an academy is £110,000, but many of those are now advertising at £150,000. And there's 134 local authority chief executives who earn more than £150,000 a year. So the point I'm trying to make is that I think, you know, if we just step back from whether we hate or love our politicians, is actually they, in my view, are clearly amongst the most important public servants in the land. And because it's proven so politically difficult to raise, to keep MPs' pay in parity with what we would consider, I think, to be comparable professions, they've been falling back for decades. And also, it's not the government who's enacted this pay rise. It's an independent body full of independent people. So they're the ones who've made this recommendation. And the reason they did it, and I think they're right about this, is they said they don't want income to start becoming a barrier to politics. And I think, you know, and I think it already is. If you look, for example, in 2010, there was a very good survey undertaken of MPs. And over 50% of MPs who joined in 2010 took a pay cut. And this is a shocking figure. Over 31% who became MPs took a pay cut of over £30,000 a year.
Mm.
And we don't know if the figures will be the same for this year's intake, but I wouldn't be surprised.
What would you say to people who say it shouldn't be about the money, though, that it's a vocational thing, you want to help, you want to change the country, change the way things are run, so it shouldn't be about the money, and £67,000 is not bad anyway?
No, I'm not saying it's bad, and not at all, but I don't think it's good, and I don't think it's good enough to get the type of, you know, quality and expertise in that we want. So, for instance, say that you're very successful as a doctor, as a lawyer, or even as a, you know, a headmaster. You know, you're going to have mortgages, you're going to have commitments, and your ability to move out of a real job into politics is effectively, there's an enormous barrier. And, you know, we don't want politics to become, you know, a place where only the very wealthy can go in, or this extremely ideologically motivated. You know, some people want power so much they'd probably pay to be MPs rather than be paid. So I think there is a democratic issue here. And there's another point I think we need to look at. You know, the reason that party leaders want MPs to not be paid well is that helps the party control their own MPs, because they can then give them preferment, they can give them jobs, and it's a form of party control. And I think a democracy needs, you know, backbenchers who aren't desperate or economically in trouble to actually hold the executive to account. So, you know, a proper functioning democracy, I think, needs to pay its members of parliament properly.
Yeah. Now, what is this properly 74,000, or would you pay them more than that?
I think that's a good start. I mean, I don't think it should be any more at this juncture, but I think we should recognise that there are significant barriers now to people from increasing numbers of professions becoming MPs. And I think we just have to make a simple point, which is, let's have parity with doctors, with head teachers, and, you know, with council chief execs. And they're already paid often twice as much as MPs, and that's how far they've fallen behind. But I would say this is why so many MPs are desperate to get a second job, because many of them have gone into public service but can't really afford to do so. So I would pay them properly, but stop them having second jobs. You know? And I think that's a
Well, I certainly agree with that. They shouldn't have time.
If it
is a tough job, as they say, then they shouldn't have time for a second job, really, should they?
Well, if you look at the average hours an MP does, they're already working close to two times the ordinary working hour limit. One of the last surveys done put them at 69 hours a week, and it's probably more. And many of them don't take weekends off, as you said, you know, in your introduction. I think that's correct. They're astonishingly hardworking, and it comes with enormous baggage. You know, it's very disruptive to families. It's very disruptive of kind of human relationships. So it's not. It's not an ideal job.
The trouble
is that
people listening to this are obviously not going to be weeping for MPs on their 67,000. The timing is terrible. Public sector workers, nurses and teachers are getting 1% if they're lucky.
Yeah, well, I suspect the timing is always terrible, Clive. You know, I mean, I think you probably couldn't pick the right moment to do it. And one of the reasons we had the expenses crisis is because even when times were good, you know, Blair and Brown said to MPs, look, we'll just inflate the expenses, and, you know, that way we don't have to go to the public with your pay rise. And that was worse, and look where that led us. I think that this is the right move. I think an independent body that awards pay is the right move. And yes, I would also have that for nurses. Yes, I'd also have that for doctors. I think that's what we need. And I suspect doctors will be paid quite a lot less and nurses will be paid quite a lot more.
And what do you think of the MPs who are going to give it to charity?
Well, I think that's all well and good. But what I don't want to do is create a situation where actually you can only really be, you can't really afford to be an MP. And I think for increasing numbers of people, that is the case. And I think that isn't the democracy we want. People can do what they want and give to charity, and I think that's a wonderful thing. But, you know, let's not start hating our democracy and our politicians too much, because you know what? There are worse systems out there,
and they're
far more corrupt.
All right. Great to talk to you. Thank you very much, Philip. 0345 60 60 973. That's Philip Blond with his view, making the case pretty much for supporting this MP pay rise. The timing is terrible, but has he got a point that it will put off people who would have to take a pay cut to become an MP? They should have parity with head teachers, with GPs and so on. And where does that leave the other public sector workers who are getting the 1% if they're lucky for the next 4 years? 0345 6060 973 is the number. LBC, I'm Clive Bull, 8:15.